ChristianCommunity.com.
I want you, as we're diving into this series this morning, I want to ask if you think for a minute with me, what did prayer look like in your life this week? You know, how would you describe it? How would you describe your prayer life this past week? Would you say it was something that was healthy, where you were connecting with God, that you were really experiencing Him and His presence in your life? Would you describe it maybe on the other end of the spectrum? You know, non-existent, not really much going on. You know, how would you describe your prayer life this past week? Or let's say this last month? You know, in general, how would you describe your prayer life? I asked that question, and I'm not actually looking for an answer, but I'm pretty sure if I said, hey, anyone want to share? A lot of us would be like, no. No, that's okay. I don't think so. See, I would guess that most of us, probably, for us, prayer is an area of our spiritual journey that we would say, yeah, we can improve it, right? Most of us would probably acknowledge that our prayer life isn't really what God wants it to be. That's kind of a no-brainer. But I want to ask you the question this morning is your prayer life really where you want it to be? You know, when you think about your connection with God and what that means and what prayer can bring into your life as you connect with the Lord, is your prayer life really where you want it to be? Now honestly, I would say that there are times that I do struggle with prayer. Not that I don't do it, not that I don't pray, but it doesn't come really easy for me. You know, given the choice to sit down and to study God's Word and to open up the Bible and read that and study that versus sitting down to just spend time in prayer with the Lord, I would pick studying the Bible probably 99 times out of 99. You know, like every time. I mean, that I love. It's easy. I enjoy that. It's not work. It's something I love, but prayer is harder for me. But I want my prayer life to be something so much more than what it is right now. I want to be someone who really hears the Lord's voice, right? Who follows where He leads and who finds their life engaged in an ongoing connection and conversation with God, where He's shaping me and leading me and directing my steps. And that changes my life. It changes who I am. You know, I desire that out of my prayer life. And I'm guessing that most of you deep down would say the same thing. Like, that's what we long for when we talk about prayer. We don't want it to just be an act. We don't want it to just be doing our duty or putting in our time. We want to hear from God. And I hope that over the next 2 months, as we're in this prayer series for about 7 weeks, that we'll learn a bit about prayer, first of all. But mostly that we will be people who really start to pray. You know, and I hope that as a community, we'll start to break down some of the barriers that maybe we have in praying for one another and with one another and praying together the things that might stand in the way, so that we would be a community that really prays, that prays for each other, that prays together and that seeks the Lord together. That's my hope as we kind of dive into this prayer series. So we're starting the prayer series today. It's got a real creative name, the prayer series. It took hours to come up with that, right? you know, but the bottom line is as we thought about it, we're like, look, prayer is what it is. And we want this to be about connecting with God. That doesn't need a clever name. You know, it doesn't need a clever name. So as we dive into the series and into the message this morning, I do want to ask us to just pause for a moment, to just be quiet for a moment, and then let's pray, and we'll continue on and dive into this together. Father God, this morning we ask that You would lead us and guide us in this journey. We want to pray for the next couple of months and the weeks ahead, that you would grow us up in prayer, that you would lead us in a way that we are really connecting with you and hearing your voice. We pray that for the long haul of this journey. We know that this area is an area that will need time to connect with you. But you're patient with us and you long for this. So help us in that journey. And I also pray that this morning, that as we start off today, that we would kind of come to that right perspective of how we need to approach you. And God, just speak to us in this time. Speak to us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I have heard probably 1,000 times, and you probably have too, that when it comes to defining prayer, prayer is simply communication with God. Right? Probably heard that before, and that's true. The word pray that's translated from the Greek is the Greek word, I have a really hard time saying this, but prosukame. Thank you. All right, it's that middle thing, section there. Prosukame. All right? It's to wish toward or to pray. It's the idea of an exchange of wishes between us and God. Now, it's not just, by the way, it's not just like, oh, here's what I wish for God, here's what you wish for God, but it's actually got the spirit of it that we're presenting our wishes to the Lord, but at the same time, we want our wishes to become what He wishes in our life. That's the aspect of prayer. Prayer is a really big deal, and it's a really big aspect of knowing God in a personal way. I mentioned how I'd love to look into the Word of God, and that's true. We can know a lot about God by looking into the Scriptures, but we really get to know God in our times of prayer. Something different happens in our time of prayer. And knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. I picked this example. I thought maybe I would pick President Barack Obama or maybe the typical Aaron Rodgers, but because there's actually a little bit of a close connection, I picked this example for this morning, Jordy Nelson. Okay? Now, we can know about Jordy Nelson, right? We can know that he's a receiver for the Packers, that he went to, I don't know, where'd he go? Kansas State? Kansas? Something like that. Right? So we know all about him. Very few of us can say that we met him, except for maybe one person who I know has an autographed picture in the back. Right? But how many of us here would actually say we know Jordy Nelson? You know? None of us. Bob, you're lying. In about 5 weeks, we're going to talk about that. Okay. So Jordy Nelson. Well, I know who Jordy Nelson is. I know about him. I don't know Jordy Nelson. In the same way, we can look at Scripture. We can learn a ton about the Lord. We can learn a lot about God. We can discover a lot about Him. But knowing about Him is not the same as knowing Him. And in prayer, we have this opportunity to really know Him. Now, the disciples, when they were following Jesus, they must have seen how constantly Jesus would get alone to be with God the Father and spend time in prayer. They would have recognized that all of this stuff that Jesus is doing, these teachings, this wisdom, this power, the direction that He had, it all came from somewhere else. It came from the Father. It was given to Him from the Father. And He was constantly spending time in prayer, being alone with God the Father. And they would have made the connection between the power that He had in His life and the prayer that he had. Right? But so when they see this, they're like, they actually ask Him in Luke chapter 11, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, kind of like you do. You know, like John taught his disciples, teach us to pray. And it's interesting that when it comes to prayer, the main teaching that Jesus gives that we'll focus in on a little bit this morning, which is in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus starts out teaching about prayer by teaching how not to pray. Okay? Teaching how not to pray. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 6, we're going to look at just a couple of verses, but they will be up on the screen as well. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this part, Jesus' teaching, starts out, and when you pray. And when you pray. Not if you pray. It starts out with this assumption that if we are a follower of Jesus, if we're following him, we will pray. And so as we talked about how not to pray, I thought there's a couple of prayers that don't get answered that probably fall into that category. So one type of prayer that doesn't get answered, the first one that we'll list here is we'll call phantom prayer. Phantom prayer. All right? Phantom prayer is the prayer that we just don't do. You know, we just don't do it. We have good intentions, but we don't do it. We're supposed to be in an ongoing, meaningful conversation with the Lord, but we seldom actually spend time praying. If we did take time to pray, we'd probably feel like we had to reintroduce ourselves to God. Right? Hey, God, it's me. Which is ironic, because he knows. But we feel like, you know, we don't know him. Right? Phantom prayer is also that prayer that you kind of never get around to praying. You know, like when somebody comes up to you and they tell you what's going on and they share maybe some circumstances in their life that are difficult and or something like that, and you say that Christian thing that you say, I'll be praying for you. And then you never pray. And we had an example of this yesterday hanging out with some of the guys at the men's retreat, and I'm like, hey, hold on. There was a prayer request that got brought up, and I said, you know what, let's just pray right now. And it's something I'm trying to work on in my life, because the reality is a lot of times I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for you, but I'm not that organized in my brain. And I'll forget. So it's like, oh, I intended to pray for you, but let's pray right here in this moment. If you struggle with this phantom prayer idea, that would be a good one. Maybe take the time to pause right where you're at and pray for somebody if you intend to. And it'll bless them as well to just hear you pray for them. You know, so I try to do that, not always, but as often as I can. Now, James 4:2 tells us that you do not have because you do not ask God. Right? That's phantom prayer. We actually have to pray for our prayers to be heard. Right? I mean, God knows our heart and he knows our thoughts, but he desires for us to pray. So phantom prayers, we'll say, phantom prayers are never heard because they're never said. Right? They're never said. So that's the first thing of maybe how not to pray. Phantom prayers. You know, we actually have to pray. Okay? The second, so continuing on in that passage. In Jesus' day, some religious leaders and some prominent people would stand and pray on the street corners. He talks about hoping to be noticed by others. They were kind of prime examples of phony spirituality. They probably prayed in their prayer voice and used big religious words and things like that. Look to be noticed. They wanted to be impressed by others. Mission accomplished, Jesus says. Right? Prayer is not supposed to be about putting on a show. Jesus called them hypocrites. The word for hypocrite comes from the idea or the concept of like an actor in a play. Now, you guys know what this is like. There's some amazing performances by people in movies or plays. Let's just stick with movies because, you know, we probably see more of those than plays, right? But especially what's impressive is when someone takes on the role of playing another actual real-life person, right? So I think of some examples, some pictures here. I think of, like, Jamie Foxx playing Ray Charles. And I was like, man, that was sort of impressive, right? Daniel Day-Lewis, Abraham Lincoln. Maybe Meryl Streep playing Julia Child, all right? I think we got one more. Will Smith. We'll do Will Smith doing Muhammad Ali, right? So if someone is really good actor, when you're watching this movie, you're not thinking, oh, I'm seeing Jamie Foxx playing Ray Charles. You're thinking, I'm looking at Ray Charles. I feel like I'm watching Ray Charles, right? That's impressive. You don't feel like you're watching Meryl Streep play Julia Child. You feel like you're actually watching Julia Child. It's impressive because they make you believe that they're somebody that they're not. But when it comes to prayer, Jesus says, when it comes to our spirituality, don't be fake. We can't be fake. We've got to be genuine, sincere, and honest, and real. So the second type of prayer that doesn't get answered is, we'll call fake prayer. Right? Jesus says, if you pray to be noticed, you got your reward. You got noticed. Mission accomplished. You got noticed, but you got noticed by people. Right? If you want God's ear, don't be like those hypocrites. That's where he says, go into your room, close the door, pray. Your Father who's in secret, he sees you. He sees you in secret. Now, is Jesus trying to say we should never pray publicly? No. He's not making a point against public prayer. But he's saying, don't be like those fakers who just pray to impress others. Because God's not impressed with that at all. So fake prayers are not answered because, hey, they're not genuine. You know, they're not genuine. It's the idea of fake. And then there's a third kind of prayer that I think gets answered, and that's thoughtless prayer. Thoughtless prayer. Jesus talks about the babbling with many words like the pagans, thinking that sheer quantity is going to get us somewhere with God. But words without thought or words without heart, they're pretty empty. I mean, think about it. Why should God care about what we're praying for if we don't care what we're praying? You know? I would say it's better to have the right heart and no good words to say it, no good way to say it, than it is to have all the right words but no heart behind it. I think that's the aspect of thoughtless prayer. Thoughtless prayer aren't answered because they have no heart. They have no heart. So I think when we talk about how not to pray, those are three ways. Phantom prayers, fake prayers, thoughtless prayers. It's kind of part of the scripture that's in here. We can pull that out of there. But here's where Jesus shifts gears a little bit. And I think this is really important because it's like, okay, well, that's how not to pray, but then how am I supposed to pray? How am I supposed to approach this? And the starting point for this morning is something that I think Jesus lays out here, and I want to explore a little bit in those last couple of verses. Jesus talks about two different ways to approach God. I mean, he talks about the hypocritical way, and he also, you know, that's not the first one, but he talks about the hypocritical way, but then here he gets into this idea of the pagan way of praying versus the Christian way of praying. Right? So two different approaches to God in prayer. The first one is the pagan way. Now the word for pagan here is also translated sometimes Gentiles or non-Jews. Now we often use the word pagan these days, it refers to completely irreligious people. But that's not the spirit of which it was intended, because you can see here, Jesus says, well, the pagans are praying with many words. So they're not irreligious people, but they're people who don't know God. They're people who don't follow God and don't know this Jesus who's talking about it, right? So pagan refers to religious people who didn't know God. They prayed to their so-called gods, who weren't really gods at all. That would obviously be the first problem. But they did it with vain repetition and babbling and empty words and a whole lot of them. You know, they had this thoughtless prayer going on. The pagan way sees a relationship with their God in this way. Sort of like a tenant in an apartment. You know, it's not really your home. You're just living there. So you got to abide by the rules. You got to take care of your responsibilities. You got to pay your rent. You got to be, you know, you're just the tenant in the building. And you got to take care of it. And if you do what you're supposed to do, then you're kind of entitled to be able to stay in that place and to get what you need and so on and so forth. It's also kind of like in a business relationship, or you could even say like an employee-employer relationship is sometimes how it's viewed. You know, it's the idea that, you know, you've got to please your boss. You've got to do what they want in order to get what you need, to earn what you need. The relationship is conditional. It's performance-based. It's like, what do I have to offer? What do I bring to the table? It's performance-based. I've got to do what is necessary in order to get what I need. It's conditional. It's all based on how I do things. This is kind of the mentality of the pagan prayer. Right? Just, you got to do this stuff in order to please your God so you can get what it is you want or what it is you need. But Jesus says, hey, that's not the way I want you to approach it. It's not the way I want you to approach it. Jesus says, in the Christian way, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows your Father. Right? That's the difference. The Christian way isn't like the pagan way in this. It's not a tenant relationship. You're living in the house as a child. Right? You're a child. It's not a business relationship, an employee-employer relationship where you've got to earn your way. You're family. You are family. It's not a conditional situation. God is committed to you. He is completely committed to you. And it's certainly not based on, you know, what you do or what you have to offer. I mean, what can we offer a perfect, holy God? But it's based on who I am to Him. And Jesus says, this is the approach that I want you to take in prayer. Right? The Christian way. As a child. As part of the family. As knowing that God is committed to you. As unconditional love is given to you. Because of who you are to Him. That's how we're supposed to approach God, Jesus says. And that's a lot different than the pagan way. So John 1:12 says this, yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, but born of God, the next verse says. All right? Not natural descent, born of God. See, the way we approach God in prayer, how we should pray, first and foremost, has to be how we approach Him. And it's about the relationship that we have with Him. We're His children. We are His family when we come to faith in Christ. So God loves us just like He loves Jesus because we've been adopted by Him. And I want us to think about that for a minute. Ephesians 1:5 says this, in love, He predestined us, He predestined you to be adopted as His sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. All right, let's read that verse again. There's a lot there. But in love, the couple of words before it says, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with His good will. It pleased God. This is what made Him happy. It brought joy to His heart to call us His own. It's what He wanted all along. And that's pretty incredible. I have a sister-in-law, Sherry's sister, and her husband. They got into doing foster care a number of years ago, and you know, they've had a number of different kids that have come through the house. But a few years ago, they had two particular girls that were brought in through foster care, and the situation there in their original family was pretty rough. It's why they were pulled out, and. You know, they just fell in love with these girls. I mean, they cared for all different kids that have come through, but they really fell in love with these girls in a really unique way. And so as the process unfolded, there was a lot of back and forth, but they decided they were going to pursue adoption for them. And it took a couple of years to get through the process, but eventually they were adopted as their daughters. And, you know, The headache, the turmoil of trying to go through that, just incredible joy is what ultimately resulted from them becoming part of the family. But here's what they're saying by doing that. That adoption is this legal transaction that takes place. And when this transaction takes place, something changes. Their status changes. Now, no longer are you just someone who's dwelling in the house. But you are family, legally. And it's like the parent is saying, I am committed to you. I love you. I am going to love you just like I love my own children. Or just like I love my naturally born children. I am going to love you. I'm committed to you. I love you just as I love them. So think about that for us. Right? If we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father, God is saying this: I love you just as I love Jesus. I love you just as I love Jesus. Now, I don't think any of us here would think about the relationship between God the Father and Jesus the Son and doubt God's love for Jesus. I mean, when we sit and think about that, I mean, of course he loves Jesus, right? Jesus was perfect. He did everything the Father wanted. He's his only begotten Son. Of course God the Father loves him. But if we've been adopted, like the scripture says, if we've been adopted into his family, then he loves us just like he loves Jesus. And I don't know why it is, but we have such a hard time grabbing onto that. You know, we have a hard time grabbing onto that. I think part of it can be, hey, when we think about a father's love, some of us have some good examples in our lives. You know, we have some healthy, good family relationships, and our father kind of paints a pretty good picture, a favorable picture of who God is as a father. But for some, that picture of a father is about pain and sorrow and disappointment, anger, hurt, abuse. The picture isn't good. It's really difficult to grab onto. And yet Jesus said, how great a love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. God is a loving Father. He is pouring out his love like crazy to us, just as he loves Jesus. That's how Jesus says we're supposed to approach God in prayer. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father. Our Father in heaven. That's how we're supposed to approach God in prayer. And I think it's so important that we kind of get that at the starting point of how we're supposed to approach Him. So this morning we're going to spend a little bit of time taking some time to pray. And then we'll close with a couple of worship songs, just about 5 minutes or so. So in this prayer time, I want to ask you to consider a couple of things. First of all, can we pray with thanks? Thanks because of what it means for us that we've been adopted as his children. And that he loves us just as he loves Jesus. You know, that's a starting point. Can we take some time to pray along that line? And then can we also take some time to pray for this? What are the things, the images, the ideas that get in the way for us of really embracing God as our loving Father? What things get in the way, and how can we thank Him? And as we go through this series, we want to take some time to pray. You know, a novel idea to be in church and to actually spend time praying. But we want to carve out a few minutes each week just for us to have this time to be able to reflect. And so in the next couple of minutes, those two questions are just going to be up on the screen. And they'll kind of flip back and forth. But I want to invite you to enter into that place this morning of praying for those two things. Praying with thanks that you've been adopted into the family, that you belong to. He loves you just like Jesus. And acknowledging that maybe there are some ways that I'm blocked from really embracing God as a loving Father. So let's take a few minutes
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.